Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
The reasons you might want to join us is because you might have a business that has been having some success, and in fact, your sales may be growing like crazy. You may be doing a great job of getting the customers in the door, but for some reason, you can't figure out why, you don't have any cash. You got lots of business, but you don't have any cash. You're out of cash all the time. Your banker's calling you all the time saying, John, Sally, you need to put some money in the bank. You're overdrawn today, and I don't want to have to send any checks back. And you say, well, how can that be? I've got more business than I've ever had in my life. Well, the reason is because you're not managing your accounts receivable and your accounts payable properly. And Ed Morvant is with us today. He's with Milliken & Michaels, and he's going to help us with that. Ed is Vice President of Business Development with Milliken & Michaels. He's currently in charge of the development of a recent relationship that they developed with Experian to market their business line of credit reports to their client base. He's been with Milliken & Michaels 6.5 years. Ed, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much, Jim. A pleasure being here.
It's good to have you with us. And I know that you guys hear the little story that I just mentioned a minute ago.
Uh-huh.
I know you guys hear that all the time, don't you?
Definitely. It's one of the biggest complaints we get from our customer base. We've got about 55,000 customers throughout the U.S., and a majority of those are small business owners who just get themselves in some difficulties with people who just don't want to pay on a timely basis.
Well, you know, the truth is that the scenario that I just painted for you actually is a pretty good one. I mean it's not only a pretty common one, it's actually kind of an exciting one, isn't it? Because if a company has more business than they know what to do with and they're out of cash, that's really an easy problem to solve, isn't it?
That's right.
In a lot of ways, most of the time it is easy.
It's a much better situation than not having the business at all. If you've got a large amount of business coming to you, you just got to be a little bit more selective and go through a little bit more rigorous process to make sure that the people you're dealing with are going to, in fact, pay you.
Yep.
Getting a sale is one thing, but getting the money in the door is the other part of it.
You got to collect the money, and it's interesting to me how many times I have seen, I have in my consulting business, I've never had anyone come to me with the scenario that I just gave you, where if I had time, I wasn't able to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen cases, and I'm sure you have too, where the company actually failed. It actually went out of business because they could not get their accounts receivable and their accounts payable coordinated.
Yeah, I've seen that numerous occasions, particularly when a small business takes a large risk for what appears to be a great sale that's going to really put them over the top. And perhaps they don't do enough homework ahead of time before they go along with that sale, providing a situation with maybe extended terms. Maybe they don't check out the entity well enough because they heard they were a good-sized company, and they think this particular sale is going to help get them where they need to go. And it turns out that sale just costs them a lot of pain and heartache after all, and it ends up really just destroying the business.
Well, what happens, folks, an example of what Ed's talking about is you've got a small business. Let's say you've got a small distribution company where you actually do have goods that you're providing to this big plant that you want to do business with. It's one of the biggest ones in the area, and you have been working for years maybe to get your foot in the door, to be able to get some business with that company, and finally they invite you to bid. And you bid on that work along with others, and you work so hard, and you say to yourself, I'm going to get that business. And so you bid it at a level that you can make a profit on if you had your money. But you get the business, and the first thing you know, they write a lot of business with you. And Ed, at that moment in time, it's the happiest moment in your business's life, isn't it? When all that business comes rolling in.
That's when they're celebrating and popping the champagne and excited about their business turning the corner. But again, if they haven't really checked out the current situation in that business, it can cost them in the long run.
Well, see, here's the other thing. I want to make sure we detail this for folks, Ed, and that is that. This may be a AAA rated company. This company may be flush with cash. That doesn't mean that they're going to pay you in 30 days.
That's right.
They're normal. When it says check them out, don't just find out if they're a good company. I mean, General Motors pays their bills, but General Motors might not pay for 45 to 60 or to 90 days. So what you also have got to check out is what are their payment, what are their normal payment terms, right?
That's correct. And that's where a good business credit report can come into really come into use for you, because you can find out exactly how they're currently paying the people that they have to pay. And in most cases, some of these large companies dealing with small business quite often will extend those terms out much more than the small business can tolerate. I was in the computer industry for quite a long time, and we did a large amount of business with some of the major oil companies. But although they were our best customers, they were always the slowest paying. Typically, anything past 60 or sometimes 90 days was what we had to get used to doing if you wanted to deal with those type of companies.
And you know what? If you know that in advance through good credit reporting and through good business planning, if you know that in advance and you're able to build that kind of carrying that kind of accounts receivable for 60 to 90 days, you're able to build the cost of money in that long, and you're able to acquire the kind of working capital backup either through line of credit or something like that, then that's fine. But guess what, Ed? Remember what I said at the very beginning. We structured this deal so we would get the business. We had to tighten sharpen our pencil a little
right.
bit to make sure we'd get the business. We didn't build that in.
Right, that's exactly the case, and that really hurts small businessmen in the overall picture.
Well, it can be devastating. And I want to talk. We're going to talk when we come back about some ways to solve this problem, folks, to make sure you don't get yourself into a bind. Now, take a quick break. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ed Morvat is our special guest. He's with Milliken & Michaels. Our number is 888-822-8255. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 24 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If your company has gotten into a bind, if you're concerned about a project you're working on, you're trying to develop some business, and you want to make sure that you don't make a mistake, you know that you're a little guy, you're a small company, and you'd like to go run with the big dogs and get some of that big business, but you're a little bit concerned that you might be in over your head a little bit. Well, guess what? You might be. But that doesn't mean that you can't get that business safely and profitably. And successfully. And really, as Ed Morvat, our special guest and vice president with Milliken & Michaels, said a few minutes ago, it doesn't mean that you can't get that business, but let's make sure that if you get it, you're successful and that you collect your money. And if you'd like to ask us a question about how to structure a deal like that, if you'd like to know some tips on how to make sure that you're doing the right thing, give us a call. Ed would be glad to talk to you about that, 888-822-8255. Ed, we were talking a minute in our little scenario. You interjected the concept of the credit reporting. Tell us how to get started on something like that.
Well, from our standpoint, we carry the Experian business line of credit reports. We don't handle the consumer end. And if you're interested in a consumer situation, you'd want to go probably through Experian directly, and they can hook you up on that. But from a business standpoint, we carry the Experian business profile, which is their main product. It presents a comprehensive objective picture of how a business handles its financial obligations. I think one of the advantages Experian has is that it's really based on all third-party information. It includes trade payment information, public record, legal, company background data, those kind of things. But it really conveys not only a company's ability to pay, but more importantly, its willingness to pay, which kind of goes back to what you said earlier, where you certainly got some AAA companies, but some of those AAA companies are out there just not paying on according to terms. And again, a small business person get themselves into trouble in that situation if they're not prepared for it.
Well, here's what you got to just to go to an aside for a second. What you got to realize is, let's say you got a multi-billion-dollar company, and they're doing, you know, it may surprise you how much business they will do with a small company like yours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll do maybe billions of dollars
in
business, from the janitors to the tire stores to the people who deliver the paper towels and the soap and things like that. That'll be done by small local companies. And if there's a $500 million out there in monthly payments to those companies, if they float them for another month, then they get the interest on that $500 million afloat.
That's right.
And that drops right to their bottom line. And all they did was hold you off for 30 days. And let me ask you a question. What are you going to do about it? You're not going to do anything.
Not going to do much.
That's right.
At that time, it's too late.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons, one of the things, Ed, that I like to make sure people understand this concept. A lot of times I hear big companies talk about wanting to be to do partnering with little companies. They talk about that kind of thing all the time. Mm-hmm. But what you have to be careful about is sometimes these big companies want you to be their partner, but they don't want to be your partner.
Yes, a one-way street.
That's exactly right. You got to be careful about that. You got to make sure, don't be afraid to ask a lot of questions. Now, let's back up. Let's go plug back into the credit reporting scenario that you were developing there, Ed.
Well,
all right, I've got a small company. I've never done a credit report on a business before. What's the first thing I do? I go to the Yellow Pages, I pick up the phone. What do I do?
Well, one thing you do, you can pick up the phone and call us at, we have a credit reporting helpline, which is an 800 number, 800-726-7738. It's 800-726-7738. And we have a number of ways you can sign up for business credit reports. We have a few different types of volume contracts, but we also have a pay-as-you-go feature that allows a small businessman to get in and order just one or two reports to see if they can see the benefit there, to get an idea of how the reports will work for them.
Is there something available that they can see what they're going to get generically before they actually have to lay some cash down?
Sure. We can send a brochure out to them, and the brochure kind of gives a detailed viewpoint of what that credit report would typically look like. As an example, in the business profile report, that's a very complete and detailed credit report. It could run as many as 10 pages long if it's a large company.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm trying to bid a project this week, could I make a phone call and get you to fax me? Could somebody fax me an example of what this report would look like to see if, so I can decide if it's going to help me before I actually pay for it?
Definitely. We can fax over.
Give that number again quickly.
Okay, sure. It's 1-800-726-7738.
All right, stand by, Ed. Folks, we got to take a break. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number on the show is 888-822-8255. Give us a call. We'll be right back. Welcome back, E-Rose. It's 33 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. I want to remind you about some of the shows that are coming up later in the week. As I mentioned to you, on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I'll be delivering a keynote speech to the North Carolina Business Incubators Association. And on that Wednesday morning, Nancy Blackman is going to be with us. Nancy is with that organization, and she's going to be joining me to talk to us about what the North Carolina Business Incubators do, what they're going to be doing, what they do all during the year, and to help small businesses get off the ground and to be successful. And I'm really looking forward to meeting all those folks and to being with them. Also, Randy Gibbs, the author of 2020 Hindsight. 2020 Insight is the name of his book. He's going to be with us on Wednesday. And then we'll be talking later in the week. We'll be talking with Beverly Williams, the president of the American Association of Home-Based Businesses. And we'll have our regular Kiplinger Hour with Joan Pride. And then I got some more stuff I'll tell you about later on. Right now, I want to get back to our good friend Ed Morvant. Ed is vice president of business development for Milliken & Michaels. We're talking about how to make sure when you make a sale, you collect the money. Not only do you collect it, but you collect it in a timely fashion, in a way that will help you to be successful and to not fail. You know, Ed, one of the things that I run into from time to time are people who want to start a business, and they've got their budget down to the pencil.
Right.
And they know down to the sheet of paper how much it's going to cost them to start their business. And guess what? They've got that much money.
Mm-hmm.
They've either got that much in the bank, or they've got a credit line, or whatever, and they're so proud of themselves. And you know what? I am too, except for one thing. They did not take into consideration growth, and they did not take into consideration the way their money was going to come in. Now, if you operate in a restaurant, you deliver the food and you collect your money. No problem, right? If everybody was in the restaurant business, you wouldn't have any business, probably.
That's right.
And that's a cash business. But in businesses where you have to extend terms, if you don't allow for having to write, when you start a new business, you're going to be on COD probably right away with most of your suppliers. But your customers are not going to want to pay you for 30 to 60 days. Well, somebody's got to carry that money for that long. And if you don't have that money in reserve, you're going to be out of business real quick. And one of the things we were talking about a minute ago, Ed, was credit reports. And I had just asked you, as we took a break, if you would fax us an example of what that looked like if we gave you a call, and you said yes. When we get that report over the fax, what's it going to look like?
Well, typically what you'll see on a business credit report, you'll have some basic company information, name, address, phone number, and also an experience case, the experience file number that kind of ties it together. And that'll be either the year the credit file was established with Experian's database or when the company was actually incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have detailed legal filings, commercial bankruptcies, tax liens, judgments pertaining to the company. So it gives you a background from that standpoint, whether they've had some legal problems in the past. And that's collected from federal, state, and county courthouses nationwide on a daily mm-hmm. basis by Experian.
How current would that be?
Usually within about 30 days. The reporting that Experian gets from across the nation is turned in on every 30-day basis usually through a computer aspect, whether mm-hmm. it be tape or disk or so forth. And they have relationships with about 7,000 companies throughout the U.S. that do this reporting, as well as a lot of the public record situations, courthouses, and so forth.
Okay.
I think one of the most important things, though, that kind of sets Experian apart is they have detailed payment behavior that they get from companies' credit relationships on a nationwide basis. This information comes from those creditors and suppliers who report their monthly accounts receivable files to Experian via magnetic tape and diskettes. D&B is an example. A lot of the information that you'll find on a D&B report is going to be self-reported. D&B regularly contacts companies throughout the U.S. and, mm-hmm. and asks them how they're doing and get updated information directly from the companies, but not from the third parties as much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something Experian really sells itself on, is that all their information is third-party reported. Then you also have information, trending information, that compares a company's payment performance in contact with its particular industry to see how they rank with the rest of the industry. If an industry typically pays at, let's say, 45 days, and you're looking to deal with somebody who typically pays at 90 days, then you know you're going to have a problem with this particular company. So it's mm-hmm. important to have an understanding of how they rank with the rest of that particular industry. And then also be some company background data that will be added in there, number of employees, sales figures, and so forth, that will kind of tie the whole picture together.
Is there any breakdown between how they pay their raw materials vendors and how they pay their other vendors?
Yeah, on the business profile report, it lists them in categories as far as how they've paid different people in different types of businesses.
Can you name some of the categories?
Yeah, like transportation, for instance, might be telecommunications, might be one of them. It really depends on the industry and who they typically will be paying and also who's reporting that information to Experian.
So would there be an opportunity to get a picture for what these people pay their small companies?
Oh, definitely.
So that would be, you'd be sort of be able to see that a little bit.
It'll show you, as an example, that it might have how they pay the cellular paging company or a chemical company.
Yeah,
or,
okay, good.
Data processing, the computer equipment.
I like that.
It's not going to give the name of the company who reported
right.
it. It'll give a business category.
Right.
It'll show how they stand from a current 1 to 30, 31 to 60, 61 to 90, and it gives that information to you.
Good. Ed, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our special guest is our friend Ed Morvan. Ed is Vice President of Business Development with Milliken & Michaels. And Ed, you guys have had some new stuff going on. You've recently joined forces with another company. Tell us about that. And take a few seconds to tell us about that.
Yeah, we're now part of a company called NCO Group. We're pretty excited about that. I guess we're now publicly traded, and we're looking forward to some of the changes we may see down the road as far as that's concerned. We're the commercial division of NCO Group,
mm-hmm.
and they're a large company that gets involved in the collection process, both on the commercial and consumer end, as well as into receivables management projects and so forth.
Right. All right, that sounds good. And Tell us a little bit more about Experian and your relationship with Experian.
Well, the relationship with Experian really started back in December. We had been talking to them for a little over a year about forming this relationship because of the size of our client base, having 55,000 clients throughout the U.S. Quite a few of those clients were more familiar with Dun & Bradstreet and dealt with Dun & Bradstreet. We're really looking for another vehicle to provide them with business credit reports.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've established this relationship with them, we're off and running. We've got right now a little over 900 contracts sold to some of our customers throughout the United States, both on a pay-as-you-go and volume basis. And they're just loving these business credit reports through Experian.
All right. Now, back on, and thank you for giving us that information, Ed, but back a minute ago, we were talking about this credit report, and I forgot to ask you one very important question. All right. We made the phone call. We called the 800 number. You sent us a sample copy of a credit report. We looked at it. We understood it. Some of your folks explained it to us, and we got comfortable with it. Then we said, okay, we're ready to do business with you. Here's the name. Here's what we want you to find for us, and you're prepared to do that for us. What's it going to cost me for one credit report?
Okay, if you want to go on a pay-as-you-go basis, it really depends on which credit report. We have the business profile, which is that full report, which on a pay-as-you-go basis would be $26. If you decided you wanted to go something like a business summary, which is a smaller, less detailed report, then you're looking at somewhere around the $7 to $10 range.
Folks, that's some of the best money you can spend if you're in the process of proposing some business to a company, especially a large company. That's nothing compared to what it can save you.
And one of the nice things about, as an example, in the business summary report, you can order a business summary report. It might cost you like $10. When you get the summary report, if you find information that in that summary report that leads you to say, hey, I really want to get some more information, you can upgrade to the business profile, and then you're credited back for the summary.
So, I see.
As long as you do so within 72 hours. So it's
good
one
deal.
Way to go would be order the summary, and if you decide you want additional information, then upgrade to the business profile.
Good deal. That's a good deal. Okay, let's move on and talk a little bit about the people in our organization.
Okay.
What are some ways that you'd like to you'd recommend? We've got salespeople out there. We've got our accounts receivable staff. We've got our all of our accounting folks in the office. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's just me sitting there taking this information. What are some ways that we can help our organization, the people in our organization, be more attuned to making sure that we collect our money?
Well, I think, Jim, that is one of the key problems that I've run into in the collections aspect is, in talking to some of the credit personnel across the United States, especially in the small business mode, a lot of those people have never gotten any type of formal training whatsoever. In some cases, the person that the small business person might put in charge of credit could be someone who formally just answered the phone and really have no background or experience in either looking at a credit report or checking out credit references or even making collection calls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's critical that those people, if that is the case, or in some cases it's the business owner who may not have had, who's going to do it himself or herself, but really didn't have that much experience in how you make a collections call, how to really check someone out thoroughly. So I think getting some type of education is important. There's a number of ways you can go about doing that. There's a lot of local chamber of commerce groups that provide different types of training and seminars that you could attend. I know certainly you're involved in always educating small business people throughout the U.S. There's different associations that you can look into getting involved with.
In a lot of communities, there are credit professional associations. These are credit managers, and if you own a company, I know those people will allow you to join them. I mean, just because you're not you may be an engineer, or you have an engineering company, or you may whatever, you may not consider yourself to be a credit professional, but if you're the credit professional in your organization, they'll allow you to sit in on their meetings.
Most definitely. I was involved in one called CPI, which is Credit Professionals International, and I know they're a nationwide organization, and they do a great job. And like you said, it's very easy to become a member and join. It's not just people who have done nothing but credit for the last 25 years. It's people who really want to learn how to do the job better.
I've spoken to those groups several times, and I really enjoy working with them. They do a great job. Ed, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ed Morvan. He's Vice President of Business Development with Milliken & Michaels. All right, we're back. 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I want to remind you that Joanna Brandy and Bill Dewar are going to be with me. They're going to, both of them are going to join me in the next hour. We're going to be talking about customer service, but also how to manage your employees so that they do a good job of customer service. And I'm looking forward to having those folks back with us. Joanna is an old friend, and Bill is a new friend. And another new friend who's with us this hour is Ed Morvan. Ed is Vice President of Business Development with Milliken & Michaels, and we've been talking about credit reporting, how to make sure that when you make a sale that you get your money in a timely fashion, in a way that, will keep you, make sure that you're as successful as possible. And Ed, just before we took the break, we were talking about employees, how to make sure that your employees do a good job of collecting the money, and how to hook up with some local credit professionals in your area. Just ask around. If you're not sure where those people might be, call a local large company and ask for their credit manager, and ask that person how to get in touch with a local credit professional association or organization. I promise you that there, if there is one in the area, that person will know. And one of the things that happens when we're trying to get credit information is people are a little bit embarrassed and uncomfortable about asking for that kind of information, aren't they?
Oh, definitely.
That's one of the things that causes us not to collect the information we need, isn't it?
Correct. A lot of times it's just they just don't have the experience to know how to go about asking the right questions.
One of the things that I say, John, I really appreciate your business, but you know that good business people dot all the I's and cross the T's, and part of our relationship is I need to ask you some questions,
mm-hmm.
or any something like that. You got any ideas?
I think that's the best way to go about doing it. I mean, you want to establish the relationship early on, and there's got to be a kind of a win-win situation. And most people who are doing business with you understand that, and they're not that uncomfortable in answering those questions. I think that's the way to do it.
Or just give them the form.
That's
don't say anything.
Right.
Right?
If you've got a good application, a credit form, that's all you really need.
Have you guys got a good, credit form application, don't you?
Yeah, we have one that we can send to anybody that wants to call us for it. We can send a copy of it.
What did it cost them?
It won't cost anything.
Is that free?
No,
okay, give us the number. So, now folks, this is the number to call if you want to see what a good credit report looks like. Not credit report, I'm sorry, credit application. Ed, what's that number?
They could call 1-800-735-6007.
Say it again.
1-800-735-6007.
6007.
Right.
And, folks, that's the number you call and just say, I want to receive your sample credit policy. I'm sorry, credit application.
Application, right.
Credit application. And you'll fax it to them or mail it to them or whatever they want, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, another thing that's a big problem, as I run into it myself, is salespeople. They're so excited about making the sale, they don't want to ask for the credit information. They got to do it, though, right?
Definitely, without a doubt. It's got to be a part of it. And you know, that's a little bit of a training between the credit personnel and the salespeople. It's kind of an ever-ending fight that goes on. The salesperson's only worried about getting that sale and hopefully getting their commission, but the credit personnel is the one who's got to find out how they get the company paid in the long run.
You know what I tell them? If no credit report, no commission. That's part of the deal. You give me a credit report, you get your commission when the sale's made. If you don't get it, no commission. That'll make them get it, I'll tell you that.
That has a lot to do with it. The other thing is establishing, if you've grown to that extent where you've got commissionable salespeople, is to have some type of chargeback policy where if you're not paid, then the salesperson ultimately gets his commission charge back, and they'll get more actively involved in making sure that people are going to pay.
Ed, that's got to be the last word. Got to wrap it up for this hour.
Great.
Thank you very much for joining us. You did well.
Thanks for my Jim.
We'll do it again.
All righty.
Thanks, Ed. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Tell Lou we said hello.
I will. Bye-bye.
Got to go for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back in a few minutes. And I'm excited about this hour because...
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.